Okay, so thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to present my research at this conference. I'm going to talk about specialized processes that are involved in visual word recognition. And I'm using EEG as a technique, and I will emphasize the temporal sensitivity of EEG and that this is important to investigate the processing speed that is an important aspect of reading. So this is are some data from a study that we did some time ago in Zurich. So what is shown here is individual data points of how many words a child at the end of first grade was reading. How many words per minute a child was reading. So the children had 1 year of schooling, and what we see is that there is a large variation between children. We also see there are two measures. One is like reading words when they are presented as a list, and the other one is when they are presented as text. So they are highly correlated. But what I wanna this is not what I wanna emphasize here. So what I wanna show is that there is a large variation. So there are some children who are very fast, like more than 100 words per minute, and other children are very slow. And some of these children are also having dyslexia. So in German, a transparent language, reading fluency is the core measure for identifying dyslexia. So, I wanted to emphasize that this is actually a reading fluency measure, and this is kind of the topic of my talk. So, how can we use EEG to measure the temporal aspect or the fluency aspect of reading? So, I'm kind of interested to understand what are the underlying mechanisms, the neural mechanisms that contribute to these differences in learning to read. And I have a very simple model in mind. So the brain processes the visual orthographic information of words, the phonological information, like how words sound, and the meaning of words, semantic. And when children learn to read, they actually have already developed a neural network to deal with the sound and meaning of words. So what is new when they learn to read is that they need to develop some visual expertise for words or for print, and also connect visual information to the kind of established language network that deals with the spoken aspect of language. So if we're interested about brain processes, and I don't really need to mention that much here, so we can look at when something is happening in the brain, and one of the methods that is most widely used are ERPs or EEG. If we want to know where something is happening, then people usually use functional MRI. So today I'm mainly talking about EEG. So I mentioned dyslexia before. So the dyslexia is a disorder of learning to read that occurs despite having normal intelligence and normal opportunity to learn to read. It's quite frequent, like 5 to 10% of all school children are affected, and there is a high familial risk. So if someone in the family, father or mother, has dyslexia, then the risk that the child will be dyslexic is around 40 to 60%. The core deficit is supposed to be a phonological deficit. And the symptoms or how we see that someone is dyslexic is that someone is making a lot of errors in the beginning of learning to read, but then also that reading speed is slower compared to typically reading children. So there were some neuroimaging studies that were looking at the neural correlates of the phonological deficit and found a region in temporal parietal cortex that showed reduced activation in rhyming tasks. So this is kind of from an older study, but similar findings were found later. Here is one by Fumiko Heft, who is also going to speak at this conference. But if we look at fMRI studies that used visual stimuli, like visual words, then what we find in a meta-analysis is that the region that is most consistently deactivated is the region in the occipitotemporal area of the brain, like in the inferior occipitotemporal area, which is also called the visual word form area. We also have found this in a recently published study with a large participant number. So we also found that activation or reading fluency was correlated with activation in this area. So this is what I mentioned before. This the same region is typically active if we present visual words, and it's more active compared to visual control stimuli. So it has been called the visual word form area. Some people prefer to just refer to the location as the left ventral occipitotemporal cortex, left VOT. I said that I'm going to talk about the timing of visual word processing. So if we look at the ERP data, then there's a component that is known for a long time, that it's increased for print word-like stimuli compared to control stimuli, the N1 component or N170 component. Also, it has been shown that this component or the equivalent of this component in an MEG study shows a reduced sensitivity to print in adults with dyslexia compared to typically reading participants. And now I'm going to talk about a study that we did quite some time ago, where we looked at children, how this print tuning effect, as I'm going to call it, will develop with learning to read, and whether it's already reduced in children with dyslexia. That's a study that I did with Daniel Brandeis and Sylvia Brehm in Zurich. So we looked at children in kindergarten, and the study was done in Switzerland, and children do not learn to read yet in kindergarten, so the children could not read yet. So we tested them in kindergarten and followed them up in second grade. We also included children with a familial risk for dyslexia because we wanted to end up with a group of children with dyslexia. We then also followed the children up later, but I'm only talking about the first two time points today. So we presented an experiment where we had words and symbol strings. And the children just needed to press a button when one of the words or stimuli occurred twice in a row. So that's something that also kindergarten children can do, even if they cannot read. So this is what we found in adults. So this is an electrode at the left occipitotemporal area. So we see this N1 component is larger for words than symbol strings. If you look at it as a topographic map, then we see the N1 map for words and for symbols. And the difference between the two is kind of what we call neural tuning for print. So then we wanted to see how this looks like in children when they learn to read. So the control children, those who did not develop dyslexia in second grade, they did not show any difference between words and symbols in kindergarten. But in second grade, they had developed a strong difference between words and symbols. Children with dyslexia, they also did not show a reliable differentiation between words and symbols in kindergarten. And in second grade, the difference between words and symbols was reduced. So this is a reduced print tuning in children with dyslexia. So that was a kind of an early study that we conducted. Then a little bit later, we conducted another study. The topic was about learning early English at school. Again, this was done in Switzerland, but we also included some stimuli like German word, visual words, and false fonts in that case. And we also looked at the effect of poor reading on this print tuning effect in the N1 component. This is a study that I did with my former PhD students, Alexandra and Leah. The difference between this study and the previous studies was that we used a false font control condition that is visually better matched with the words than the symbol strings that we used in the first study. So what we found again is this kind of, in this case, we tested first graders, so they could already read. So again, we found they had already developed this print tuning effect in the N1, like larger for words than false fonts. And also this changed, it looks a bit larger here in third graders than first graders, but basically it's already present when they have learned to read. And in adults, we saw that the print tuning effect was there in the N1 onset, but in the N1 offset, actually there was a reverse effect, which we think is because we used a false font condition, which was visually better matched than in the study before, where we had a symbol string. And in the same study, we also correlated the print tuning effect in children with their reading fluency. And we found that those children who are reading faster, more fluently, they show a larger print tuning effect. So it's kind of the same direction what we found with the dyslexic children before, that who showed a reduced print tuning effect. So this is kind of evidence from the two studies that this print tuning effect develops with learning to read, and it's reduced in dyslexia and in poor reading. We also found this kind of difference in the adults that showed the print tuning effect in the early N1 compared to the late N1 in the second study. What I want to emphasize in the children, we have basically an amplitude measure that correlates with reading fluency. So it's not that processing of words occurs faster, and that's why they're reading. We see a difference in reading fluency in the end. It's just that at the time point that we measure, or the time window we measure, activation is larger for words than false fonts or symbol strings. So now I'm going to talk about some studies in Chinese now that I'm located in Hong Kong. And in those studies, we show that actually the timing might be different in words or print stimuli compared to control stimuli. So in one study, we were looking at, or in two studies, we were looking at top-down effects on print tuning. And the reason why we did that is that there is kind of a discussion about what does this print tuning reflect? Is it just like a bottom-up process that is caused by some activation of feature detectors, like in the model by Stan Dehane? Or is it kind of the result of an interaction between top-down predictions that are compared to bottom-up input, like in the model by Price and Devlin? And for some time, there has been quite a discussion about these two models. And the difficulty was always that, like, if there were some results that didn't fit the pattern, it could just be explained by kind of strategic top-down effects. And so what we wanted to see is, like, is this kind of N1 print tuning, can it actually be influenced by strategic top-down influences. So in one study, we looked at task effects, and in the other study, we looked at category level expectation. So this is two studies that I did with my former PhD student, Fang Wang, who is now a postdoc at Stanford University. And so in one study, she presented Chinese characters under three task conditions. So there, in one condition, participants needed to name a rare target. In another condition, they needed to detect a repetition, like in the other studies that I presented before. And in the third study, they needed to detect a certain target color. So the idea was that we present the same, the exact same stimuli under three different task conditions. And so these were just adult participants. And so what we found was that based on the previous study, we also looked at N1 onset and N1 offset separately. So what we found is that the N1 onset showed a main effect of stimulus type. So it was more negative for Chinese characters. So these were Chinese participants. So Chinese is familiar compared to the unfamiliar Korean characters. And then the N1 offset showed actually an interaction with the task. So the earlier or the larger N1 onset could also reflect an acceleration of processing, that the N1 actually starts earlier. Okay. So in the second study, we manipulated expectations. So the participants saw either a blue or a green frame, and the color of the frame indicated the probability of whether the next stimulus is a Chinese character or a Korean character. So in one participant, for example, blue suggests or indicated that the next character will be a Chinese character with the probability of 75%. And with 25%, it would be a Korean character. And then we counterbalance the colors across participants. So that means we had valid targets and invalid targets. Or we can say we had expected targets or kind of unexpected targets. And the results were actually very similar to the previous study. So again, the N1 onset showed a main effect of stimulus type. It was more negative for Chinese than Korean, irrespective of the expectation. And the N1 offset showed an interaction between stimulus type and expectation. So again, the negativity and in the N1 onset could reflect a faster transition between the P1 and N1 component. So this could indicate kind of accelerated processing of the familiar Chinese characters. Okay. Yeah, so as a summary of these two studies, the results were very consistent. So we have print tuning effects in the N1 onset that are not influenced by top-down effects like tasks or expectation, but task and expectation influence the N1 in the offset, in the late phase. And the early N1 onset effect could reflect an acceleration, N1 acceleration, and this could be a marker of print tuning in Chinese. So in a more recent or in another study, we did a training study, intervention study with children with dyslexia. So we wanted to compare two types of intervention, a metalinguistic intervention and a working memory intervention. And we wanted to evaluate the intervention not only at the behavioral level, but also at the neural level. So the idea is that if we use this print tuning deficit that we have found in the in the previous study as a marker of the neural deficit, and we can see whether one of these intervention methods actually leads to a reduction of this deficit and the other one maybe not. So that's kind of the idea. I'm not going to talk about the intervention part today, just so this analysis is still ongoing, but just about the analysis of the children with dyslexia compared to the typically reading children. So the experiment was kind of similar to what we have seen before. So just we have Chinese characters and Korean characters. And we had quite a large group of children with dyslexia. So this is based on 53 children and about the same number of typically developing children. And the children were in second and third grade. We also had a group of adult readers. And the task was a repetition detection as in the experiments before. So this is first the results of the group of adults. So again, we see this N1 in the early phase is more negative compared to the ERP or the N1 in response to the Korean stimuli. So this is kind of the third study now where we see this very consistent result. So again, this is consistent with the idea that the N1 is accelerated in response to stimuli with which the participants are highly familiar, like visual word or character stimuli. Here are the results of the children. So one thing is what we can see is that the N1 is actually very small and the P1 is very large. But then we also see that the difference in the N1 between familiar Chinese and unfamiliar Korean is similar between the children with dyslexia and the typically developing controls. But we also found that actually the typically developing children, they show a difference in the P1 component between Chinese and Korean. So the P1 was more positive for Korean and more than for Chinese. And this difference was not present in the children with dyslexia. So although we see this effect now in the P1, it is actually, it's most pronounced in the transition between the P1 and the N1. And because the N1 is so small, probably that's the reason why we see this effect mainly now in the P1. So it's consistent with the finding from before that the N1 is accelerated in reading Chinese compared to looking at Korean characters. But also it shows that actually this effect is not present in the children with dyslexia. Okay, so this is some evidence with print tuning studies showing that in Chinese we find this accelerated N1 for Chinese characters compared to control stimuli. Now, I want to show two more results from two more studies that also kind of are consistent with this idea that if we that the N1 can be accelerated, and in this case it's not if people have expertise with the stimuli, but if they have some knowledge or information about the upcoming stimulus. So I'm going to present results from a mass repetition priming study and a study that uses parafoveal preview benefits. So there were some previous results in alphabetic languages with mask priming that showed like a reduction of the N250 component. That's kind of a negativity that in our studies often kind of overlaps with the N1 component. And then in some studies, they also found an increase of the early N1 component. And kind of similar in studies that combined eye tracking and EEG with a boundary paradigm, they found reduced N250 if the preview was identical to the word that was subsequently focused. And if the preview was unrelated or invalid, then the N250 was increased. So we in these studies, they're part of a study with a kind of different question, but I'm not introducing this today. So I'm just talking about the main results here. So we wanted to see whether the effects are similar in Chinese. This is a study that I did with my current PhD student, or I'm still doing. She's still working on it, Xin Huang, and with Werner Sommer and Olaf Diemingen from Humboldt University in Berlin. So this is the design of the mass priming study. It's a bit special in this experiment. It's a bit special because we use two character words, Chinese words, and then we present the first character first. And then for the second character, we present a prime that is masked. And the prime of the second character can be valid, as shown here, or invalid, which is not shown here. So we did this in a group of students, and the task was just to name the previous character after a rare question mark. So this is the result of this mass repetition priming study. So we see the red waveform is the unrelated one, and the black one is the repeated one. So we see that in an early phase there's an increased negativity, and in a later phase there is reduced negativity. That's what I referred to as the N250 effect before. So we actually did this in two experiments with kind of the same stimuli, and it's in the same participants, but still it's kind of a repetition, or we found it in two independent data sets. So the effect is consistent, and the interpretation, what does it mean? Like, we have this very early positivity, but this is actually too early to be a P1 in response to the target character. And the N1 here is around one, before 100 milliseconds. So it's too early to be the typical N1. So probably this is elicited by the previous or by the preceding events, which are the mask and the prime. But because these stimuli were the same for the unrelated and repeated conditions, so we can just rely on the difference between the waveforms. And if we just consider the time range, so we have the first time range is like between around 100 and 150 milliseconds. So that's the transition between the P1 and N1 component. That means if the stimulus is repeated, so if the mask prime is valid, then the waveform is more negative. That's again consistent with an earlier P1 N1 transition in the case where participants have valid information about the upcoming stimulus. Okay, so that's kind of one set of the results. Then in the other study, we used a mask priming experiment, a bit more simple in this case, and compared it to a preview benefit experiment. So in the mask priming experiment, this time we just have a prime and a target, and the prime is masked. In the parafoveal preview experiment, participants were looking at the fixation, then they were asked to move the eyes to a location where they saw to the preview location, and once the eye gaze crossed the invisible boundary, The preview was replaced with a different font, either of the same character or a different character. So again, the preview could be valid or invalid. And so again, we did this with students. And what we found was for the mass priming study, very similar to what we found before. So in an early time range, like around 100 to 150 milliseconds, the ERP was more negative for the repeated and non-repeated condition. And similar in the preview benefit study, we found more negativity in the same time range for the repeated or versus the non-repeated condition. So again, also this is also in agreement with an earlier transition of the P between the P1 and N1 if participants already have information about the upcoming stimulus. Okay, so now I'm going to summarize. So initially I presented studies that showed that the N1 print tuning is developing with learning to read, and it's reduced in children with dyslexia or in poor readers. And I pointed to the kind of effect that, or that to the circumstance that this effect is actually indicated by an amplitude difference, but it's not reflected by difference in timing. And also in the beginning, I showed that actually reading fluency is an important measure when we look at reading. So then I showed some evidence in studies in Chinese that actually the P1, N1 transition seems to occur faster if participants are expert with a certain type of stimulus, like Chinese characters in the case of Chinese readers. And that already children, like second, third grade children who are typical readers show this effect here in the P1, but that this effect is absent in children with dyslexia. And then in the end, I showed some additional evidence that P1-N1 transition may speed up if participants have information about the upcoming stimulus. So this is kind of, I find these results are quite consistent. And the interesting thing is that it's kind of a more direct way to relate neural mechanisms to the difference in reading speed that we find in the reading tests. So one big question is whether we found this test now in Chinese, but we don't know whether this is something specific for Chinese. One could argue that Chinese is visually more complex, and maybe that's why we see this effect in Chinese, but not in other languages. But at the same time, in earlier studies that we were using, we mainly use these symbol strings. And there's one study that I also showed is where we use false fonts, and where we actually also saw a difference in the N1 onset. So actually, it might be something more general that is not just specific for Chinese. And maybe the difference in the amplitude in the other studies was just masking the difference in kind of the difference in the onset of the N1 that we have seen in these studies here. So at the end, I just want to thank my collaborators in Europe and Switzerland and in Hong Kong, and the founders of my research in Switzerland and Hong Kong. And I want to thank you for your